It's been a while, so let's go back to that paragraph. We were in the middle of the paragraph on page Kuf Beis, Achshar Sarveichem, in the middle of the paragraph. And the Rebbe was warning us, regarding the chinuch of children, that from the youngest age, they're being directly or indirectly taught that the Yetzer Hara is the most powerful force in their lives, and the picture that the children grow up with of the Yetzer Hara as being this all-powerful monstrous koyach that lurks behind, you know, every corner, and that can easily destroy them. This from the very beginning of their lives saps them of their belief in their own koyches to live lives of kedusha and to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And let's just chaza over that paragraph and continue, because we're in the middle of the paragraph on page Kuf Beis. V'agavayim manu b'zeh shemalamdem mechanchem adavim divim musim atalmideyim mitzayim heim divim es yetzahara legiba kol kach oyim mekoycho kol kach rav v'noyer, that the Rebbe says the malamdem mechanchem that are giving musa, and the way that they describe the yetzahara as such a powerful gibor, whose koyach is so awesome, lo toiv heim oisem ezeh. The Rebbe says they're not doing a good thing. They're not doing a good thing with this. Ki kach teva ha'ish, kshemitzayim lefanav eze ish l'giba noir v'rav koyach. The nature of a person is that when somebody is described as a powerful, powerful gibor, then yodav misrashleis. Then the hands of the individual become weakened. And that's it. He's finished to begin with. There's not even a chance that he'll even have the possibility of defeating this person or of engaging him in warfare, because much as you know, in milchama depends on propaganda, and propaganda is a very important part of milchama. And even on a smaller scale, when they would have these wrestling matches or these boxing matches, it's preceded by weeks of like hype of one side and of their promoters, of the guy's promoters, saying all kinds of lishaynas to create some sort of a pachad, a fear on the other side. That's a very important part of any type of war, whether it's a war conducted between nations, or there's a war between individuals, with the diburim to be able to generate fear, so that the opponent feels that to begin with, it's not even shaykh that he should win. Therefore, the Rebbe says that the malamdim and the mechanchim that are using in their musa with their good intentions, but they're constantly describing the strength of the Yetzer Hara, while of course neglecting to describe the strength of a Yiddish and Neshama, because that's something that generally they don't learn about, or they don't see, to give over to the students. So what happens is that in the child's mind it's very clear. There is this powerful Yetzer Hara, and there's this little weakling, me, and that's it. It's fafalm to begin with. You've lost. The one who's described in such a way will win. Lo mibnei gevurasa, the Rebbe says, not because of his gevuras. It's not because he's such a gevaldig giver. Not because of his gevura. Rak mibnei chulshas atzmo, but because of the other one's weakness. When the teachers describe the Yetzer Hara as being so powerful, then the students naturally slip into this way of living where they're where they're confronted with the Yetzer Hara, they automatically give in, and their hearts melt, and they know that this is the Yetzer Hara. May Yetzer Hara is so strong, and there's nothing to do. Until the Yetzer Hara becomes stronger than it really is, and this person, as he grows up, has crazy typhus, unbelievable typhus. And where do you get these typhus from? What kind of crazy typhus does he have? The Teretz is that for years, from the beginning, he was giving it the smaller typhus, because he always felt that he can't control whether it came to eating, came to watching shows. So then, at the beginning, the typhus were not as serious, but afal pichein, he from the beginning always felt that he could not confront his taivas. He couldn't possibly overcome a taiva. So when he's small, the taiva might not even be for dvar masur. It might not be for things that are forbidden. It can be just when it comes to eating. We have, or it comes to watching things, whatever it might be. He has a taiva, and he doesn't. Ever learn how to use kaiches to resist indulging what he wants, especially if he has parents that don't help him along in that way, that they indulge him and they give in to everything that he wants. So in the beginning, it's just he might eat too much or the wrong things. He might go to the wrong places a little bit, where he shouldn't. He comes back too late. He should be home. He should be doing his homework and all these different things. But eventually, since as a child he was always giving into his taivas, and his parents gave into his taivas, and he doesn't believe that he has the kairos to overcome anything, and he has to always, whatever he wants, he gets. So then what he wants becomes more frightening as he gets older, and the Yetzer Hara, the taivas, becomes stronger and stronger, because they see this guy's using the words with it, the guy's a wimp. He's a wimp. He's a loser. How does the Yetzer Hara know that? It's a loser because every single time he just goes over to him, since he's a little kid, he goes, poof, the kid loses. And on top of that, he's hearing shmuzen all the time about the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara. And as I said last time, even in the children's books and in the children's tapes, there's a whole subculture of the Yetzer Hara, that sometimes when I remember hearing one or two of the tapes, as I mentioned last time, that it sounds to me like it's not Jewish, some of the things. It speaks like the Yetzer Hara is like this devil or something. With Jewish words and a sweet little niggun, but basically the message is, forget it, kid. You better not have any Yetzer Hara, like those of us who made this song. You better not have any Yetzer Hara at all, because if you have a Yetzer Hara, you know, this Yetzer Hara is very scary and very horrible, and you're going to lose. And with that, the Yetzer Hara gathers strength. When the Yetzer Hara sees that this child, as he's growing up, is easy game, then the Yetzer Hara is strengthened by its victories. Achibemis nasagiba, yes, me for me to scuros, I shall have amis. Ulevavam la yidavim chasashon mi koshon yiponav. Not only that, but then the person's attitude becomes, as he grows up, the attitude is that he doesn't worry, and he's not upset with himself if he sees Chas Hashem that he fails. In other words, that he gives in to the Yetzer Hara. Why? Ki yisdat kulemer umali lasis. I mean, Yetzer Hara kolkach giver ravi mani. Every kid could say to the Rebbe, with all these shmuz and all these speeches about the Yetzer Hara, every kid could say. So then the Rebbe says, so what happened to you? Did you go to that party that I'm screaming about, you shouldn't go to? Did you go to the party? The kid could say, of course I went to the party. Why'd you go to the party? I told you about the Yetzer Hara to go to the party. I know. That was a big Yetzer Hara. It was a big Yetzer Hara. And what could I do with such a Yetzer Hara? There's nothing I could do. Sure, I went to the party. And the person, he says, What could I do with such a Yetzirah that's so strong, that's so much stronger than me? I can't do anything about it. And the kid wouldn't have even known that the Yetzirah is that strong, unless his Rebbe, had his Rebbe not told him that the Yetzirah is that strong. So it's not easy to be a Rebbe, and to think of Eitzes had to strengthen a child, but the Rebbe here is just warning the Mechanchim Lavdim about how they talk, and how they paint the Yetzirah for the children as they're growing up. That's what I was saying before. And even when they grow older, they don't strengthen themselves to overcome any little, any geira, any taiva that they have. They give in to the taiva. You want to eat this, you want to go to sleep now, you have to go. You want to watch this, you want to listen to this, every single taiva they give in to. Because they never thought, from the time that they were children, they never thought that they had the strength to be able to, that they're stronger than the Yetzirah, that they're nisgabra on the Yetzirah. Because they saw themselves as being weak, and the Yetzirah was always portrayed as being all-powerful. And on top of that, they never really learned how to daven, and to be mechazik themselves with the koyach tefillah, and to ask Hashem's Baruch to help, that they should have siyata d'shmaya. So that's it. So taiva comes and you push over. Nasei nabocha v'avrech lekoyah beraglach achas al haaretz b'shar sheyitzuch hamagarais chalaez and nemuchius v'ligzer oimer kainani oimer raketayra esav loch yitzvi. The Rebbe says, try this out. He says to bocha, to young man. He says, stomp with one of your feet. Stomp on the floor with your foot. When your Yetzirah is starting up with you and drawing you to some sort of a low thing, he says, stomp on the floor. V'ligzer oimer. And decree. V'ligzer oimer. Kainan the oimer. Raketayra esav loki yitzvi. This is what I'm telling you. So says the Yetzirah. This is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm going to do what the Torah says, not what you tell me. I'm going to do what the Torah says, what the Baruch Shem told me to do, not what you told me to do. Kach ani oimer. Kein ani oimer. This is it. I'm the balabas over here. I'm the balabas. I'm in charge. Kein ani oimer. Raket Torah sevaloki yitzri. We're gonna move ahead according to the Torah, not according to what you're telling me. Not according to the Yetzirah. Kain on the owner. And to speak with Malchus, to speak with Koyach, Kain on the owner, thus is thus. Vaz, the Rebbe says, Tivaka, Kihar be Megvus Yetzirah, Rak Dmuya Ramiya. And the way it is with all bullies, then you realize right away you see that the alleged strength of the Yetzirah, where there's so much hype and so much propaganda and there's been so much talk about all these years, then you realize that the Yetzirah is, the strength of the Yetzirah is the Muya Ramiya, it's nothing. The whole thing is a fake. It's not true. The Muya Ramiya. It's Dimyanis. It's Dimyanis. It's the whole strategy of the Yetzirah. Is to have you think that you can't possibly defeat him, but when you stand up to him and you're not a baby and you give out a scream and you stomp on the floor, this is what I'm telling you to do. So then, like with all bullies, they back off, and like I said last time, they back off and they said, yes sir, I understand sir, I won't bother you again sir, don't do anything, don't hurt me sir, when a person is with Gvura. But it's very, very far from when a person grows up giving into to every taiva. He gives into every taiva. And the strength of the Yetzirah comes only from your own weakness and your failure to strengthen yourself, kinegde, and to have confidence and to be strong. And it's like this with all the dimyanis of the world, when it comes to all the inyanim of the Yetzirah, Sometimes a person thinks that, he's going to lose his parnas if he doesn't shake the lady's hand at work. All of these things, it's all stuff. These are all dimyonis. And if it does happen, he's an elich yid. So that means that then other abba, then that's not the Ratzon Hashem that he had to be in that place and whatever it is. But everybody's so weak. We're all like, you know, like pushovers. Anything that comes around is it. When it comes to Yonah Vishmir Sainaim, that a person should watch his eyes not to look at the wrong thing. That everybody feels from the time that they're children that they don't have any Bechira Chavshis, they have to look at something. And they say, well, at least Hashem, you should be grateful. I didn't do anything else. I just, you know. That there's not even a milchama when it comes to certain things. You're not even in the war, because if they forget it, this is not even, I can't not look. Thank God I don't do anything with that, and I just, you know, how many times I'm happily married and I don't do any aveiros, but looking, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? These are all the shyness, the burum of that's why I said, you know, I'm starting to use the lashon of wimps, of losers. Anybody would say that to you if you'd be like you're an experienced business person or an experienced investor, and he gets a new person and the person tells you, I don't know, you'd slap him across the face and say, what's the matter with you? What's with you? You have no kaiches. You have no confidence. And you'd send him to some like Dale Carnegie, you know, seminar to build up his self-esteem and his confidence. But when it comes to divers, so then the guy says to you, "What are you looking at on the computer? What are you looking? What are you looking at in the office?" So what do you want? Is that right? It's not right. So why are you looking? I thought you're married. You're from Persia. What are you looking? What are you going to do? These are the shyness of losers. Not talking about a person that doesn't believe God forbid. A person's a mom, and he knows that it's not the Ratzon Hashem. He wants to do the right thing, but he says, I can't. So that's what Rebbe's saying. That all of this is a dimyon. It's a lie. It's not true. And the Yetzer Hara is encouraged when we act with such weakness and a lack of confidence. So the Yetzer Hara is mischazik from that than a person. And that is a process. It's got over all the years. It starts when you're a little kid. Over all the years. Of what's your relationship with the Yetzer Hara, and how do you see yourself vis-a-vis the Yetzer Hara? And since no one talks to the children about the greatness of their neshamas, they don't even know what neshama is. They don't even know what kedusha is. I told you about this, that I had a good friend of mine that the kid like asked him at the Shabbos table once. He said, like 15 or 16, so I don't remember how old he was. He says, what exactly do you mean when you say heilig, right? Holy. What do you mean by that? Now, no kid will say, what do you exactly mean by a taiva? You never hear any 15-year-old say, what do you mean by a taiva, a desire? Taiva, he knows exactly what it means, a taiva. But when you say kedusha, talk about the neshama, And he's, you know, he's heard all kinds of songs, and he goes to the kumzitz, and they say, and some person that's conducting the kumzitz is singing, they're singing beautiful niggun, and he tells a story, and he cries, he says, you know, you have such beautiful neshamas, and you, what does that mean? I don't know what it means. What is a nesham? What's a Jew? What does it mean to be a Jew, Bechlo? He doesn't know. No one really explains to him, because it's taken for granted. You know, you're holy. But when it comes to the taivas are right, you know, in black and white. He knows what his tithes are. So from the beginning, he's conditioned to lose. And he doesn't have koiches in Avodas Hashem to be able to easily defeat the Yetzer. We all can. Every single one of us can. And it's not even hard. It's just we don't know that we can do it. The bottom of page Kuv Beis. Naxalan now. Let's go back. Reishis Daas he shekol zman shlinis rabba kol kachadu shaseinu. The beginning, you have to know the kol zman, that as long as we haven't increased our connection to kedusha, loinis gala kol kach nishmaseinu, and we haven't revealed in our lives the that inner strength that we have of our neshamas. Hachi is batal gufenim kachasena tomidei love. We have tzaddikim that the body and physical life is completely bottled to the neshama. It has absolutely no ability or strength to rise up against the neshama, because the body is completely bottled, completely, totally obedient and subservient to the neshama. That's how the tzaddikim that are like that. V'davka tomid k'maitzel tzaddikim agadol Hashem he'oz. It's a big, big, great tzaddikim that are like that. That their inner kedusha is fully operative in their lives, and then the neshamas amamish mizgala are revealed, and therefore the physical things have no interest to them, and there's no has no bearing upon their lives. As long as we haven't reached that level, as srichem anu lezbeinim bekeiches gufeinu v'nafshenu. Since we haven't reached that level where the body is completely subservient to the neshama, we have to learn how to look deeply into the kaychas of the guf, which is one of the yisaitis of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and all of his Talmidim, to look deeply into the kaychas of the guf, of our bodies, and using the teva, using the nature of our bodies, of physical life, to be able to use that, the shabit al yadam ayson v'ayson avedis hakodesh. Since we're not at a level where the ruchnis, where the neshamas, are completely revealed, and the bodies, therefore, our physical lives, are not bottled to the neshama, then we have to use seichel and strategy how to engage the guf, the body, and the things in our lives that are teva, that are our nature, how to engage them in avodas Hashem. As we're not in a position to ignore these things, because we feel this inside of ourselves, the Bahamias. We feel that inside of ourselves. So we can't be mavatal. We're not holding by that. We don't. These things we feel their relevance to our lives. We don't eat just because we want to survive. We're not eating because otherwise we'll die. The tzaddikim, their eating is just a matter of being able to say brach and surviving. That's not why there are 50 different, 100 different brands of kosher wine. 100 is probably kosher wine. I don't know about wine. It's probably 200 brands of kosher wine. It's not just because you have to make kiddush. You understand? So there's a whole world of tithes and we're not able to ignore that. So we're not just drinking the wine to be Yotzei Kiddush, we're not just eating a piece of food in order to be Mechai ourselves to live. So the bodies and our physical urges are very much a part of our lives. So then, of course, the Derech Baal Shem Tov, of the Tzaddikim, what they taught us is that as long as that's the case, which it is for 99.9% of the world, as long as that's the case, then we have to learn strategies, tachbulais, of how to be victorious, davke, by using these kaychas of the guf, and by using the nature that we have, in order to be meshabit ourselves, in order to strengthen our connection to Kadosh Baruch and to Avodas Hashem. Achikulon niskadish, and slowly but surely, as our lives are conducted Apialoche, and in the pathways of Kedusha, so bislach slowly, without even necessarily realizing it, the person's miskadesh. Over the years, he himself becomes more and more miskadesh. He becomes sanctified, he becomes less dependent upon those things in his life. That pasuk that we will take that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro that we'll take these animals. Why do we need to go out with animals? Because we're going to take these animals in order to serve Hashem. Shema Moshe Rabbeinu al Paro al behemtim shel hamitzvah. What do you need to take animals? So Moshe, what are you going on a little trip? What do you need to take animals? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Shemenu nikach lavis Hashem," which means we need to sacrifice whatever. But "Shemenu nikach lavis Hashem," the Svarim Kedoshim say, what does it mean? Haynu shem nefesh baham yis ba'atzma navadis Hashem, means that we tell Paro, which is the Yetzahar, we tell the Yetzahar, it's true, there is an animal inside of us, there is a bahamis, there are behemoths. Like it says in the Svarim Kedoshim, that in each and every person there's a gan hachayis. There's not just a behemoth, there's a zoo. It's a, all different types of behemoths. Like, you know, like you go in the zoo and you try to read the sign, and you know, there's like some other creature over there looking at you like, what are you doing here? And you read the sign and it says like, this is like from some place in Montana they have five of these behemoths and they put them in the zoo. So the Svarim said that in every person is a gan chayis mamish, this is zoo mamish. And there's 70 nations and 70 types of animals inside of a person. So when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, it means that Jew says to the Yetzirah, to those behemoths that are bahamis inside of himself. So the behemoths are saying, hey, look at us. You have no chance to defeat us. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, "Umimenu nikach la'avdas Hashem." No, we're using you. We're going to use you, meaning the behemoths. We're going to use the behemoths in order to serve the Baruch Shalom. You're not. In other words, we're going to harness the energy that you have, all of your kaiches, whatever the kaiach is. We're going to take that kaiach, "Umimenu nikach la'avdas Hashem." We're going to use davka those koiches. We're going to use those koiches. So you get a bacha that he it's hard for him to sit down and to concentrate. So if that behemoth inside, if that little animal inside that doesn't allow him to sit and to focus on the Gemara, if that animal will get the better of him, then God forbid, there could be a lot of tzaras. Terrible, terrible things can come from such a child. But if mimenu nikach lav Hashem, but if there's a very good Rebbe, a mashpia, a parent that is madrich, that gives this child hadracha of how to use his restlessness in mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, and how to channel that energy into mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, to do good things with that, then Adraba, he could be a person that could lead other Jews and to be machazik other Jews, and there are a lot of wonderful things that could be accomplished. Because he knows, he feels inside of himself that he can't overcome that behemoth of restlessness. So it's a shaila. He's either going to take that to the street and God forbid get lost on the street, or he's going to take that into our world and to use the kaikas in our world. I mean, they're grown-ups that I know, more than one or two, that I remember from 35, 40 years ago, that they were the ones that were the biggest behemoths. That's what they were called. The biggest behemoths in yeshiva. The most uncontrollable, the most destructive, crazy kids. And 30, 40 years later, you see that, you know, this one runs this organization, and this is a guy that I know, that he's taken care of, like he takes care of in Bnei Brak, he has this lunch programs and food. He's taken care of thousands of people with all kinds of tzaras. He takes care. And if anybody would see what this guy was when he was like 12, 13 years old, it was unbelievable. I'm at my bar mitzvah. There was a guy that was playing a thing, you know, clarinet. And this guy that runs this thing of an Ibrah, he tied together the shoelaces of this guy, and the guy fell off the stage, and they, it was like, they didn't have a tzalo, it was a hot my bar mitzvah. The bit, like he was playing the thing, you know, Simon Tov HaMaltov, and this kid's like, you know, the guy almost got killed. And now you see him, he's got a whole thing, and you spoil your shoes, and all the rebbes say, that's how he's a kodesh. He is a tzaddik in the Kaddish. He saves Jews all the time. But he was a behemah mamish, a behemah gasa, and the lashonis, and it was crazy. But they had such koiches, menem nikach labris Hashem. The guy was about merits. He had such koiches, menem nikach labris Hashem, and many like him that type. They become terribly destructive people and ruin their lives, other lives. And this menonikach lives Hashem. That's what it says in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro. And these people can become much, 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 much more productive than the philosophical types, than the less excited, more philosophical types. If they use those kaiches, avos Hashem. So if we tell such a, if somebody would have come along and told this guy, if he would have been told, which I mean he was told all the time when we were kids, be quiet, sit down, stop that, don't, you know, what are you going to do? You have your kids, little kids in school, you know, you can't put him on some program when he's 8, 9 years old. We were together as kids. But at some point, either with the help of other people or within his own kaiches ha-nefesh, he realized, you know, I can't stop, and I can't sit down, and I can't be quiet. But I'm going to mimena nikach lavad Hashem. I'm going to use these kaiches mimena nikach lavad Hashem. And you have some of the most wonderful rebbeim, especially for younger children. That doesn't mean the person was necessarily a Talmud Chacham, but they use their imagination and. And the boys that have fun with the guys and the makar of the guys, and they have a chush for that. And it's all this avoid of men and nikach lavad is Hashem. Haimush your nefesh bahami is ba'atzma lavad is Hashem. With the nefesh of Baham is itself, we're going to serve Hashem. So this person says, I'm going to take you, the behemah inside of me. Men and nikach lavad is Hashem. And we're going to use the koiches of the nefesh of Bahamas l'toiva. Adkan l'shanim ha-kadosh. This is what the tzaddikim say. Isha Yisraeli kodeshu. A Jew is holy. Gam guf ha-kodesh. Even the body of a Jew is kodesh. Gam nefesh of Bahamas shalei kedusha. Just like we see with this kid, this old friend of mine. That even though it was used in such a crazy way when he was younger, but what happened, we saw later on that the Nefesh Bahamas is Kaidish, the Guf is Kaidish, a Jew is entirely Kaidish. The Nefesh Bahamas is like Kedosha. If a person says, we met a Nikach Lavis Hashem, then what's Mezgala is that this energy that he has, this energy is itself the source of tremendous Kedush inside of himself. If he takes it and he uses it to serve Hashem. Because Al Pi Kabbalah, the shorish of this Bahamias, of this energy, of this Bahamias, the shorish of that is Mipnei, he Mipnei shorish of the Merkava Kanoidin. In the vision of the vu of the chariot of the Merkava, you know that one of the faces in the Maase Merkava was the Pnei Hashor. Without going into that, the face of the ox. And it says in Pasuk, Rav Tvus B'Koyach Shor. The stronger the ox, the more the produce, the better the harvest. I mean, the Rav Tvus B'Koyach Shor. If you have a behemoth that's weak, so then you're not able to do much with the field. He's an edler behemoth. He's a balmidus. If you get a behemoth that's a balmidus, you're not going to make much money. As you go to the, you go and they have an auction. That's what they do. The farmers, there's an auction, and you have these animals, and then you have one that's like this. He's standing over there, like, you know, he's being mavisadra, that behemoth. And this farmer is very able to farm. He says, oh, that's my kind of behemoth. I like that behemoth, and he buys that behemoth. He doesn't understand why it costs half of the other behemoths, because it's such a chashav behemoth. It's mavisadra. All the other behemoths are just making noise and kicking and banging their heads. This behemoth is being mavisadrus, and they charge him much less. He takes this behemoth and he puts the thing on. So first he puts the thing on the ants. He told me, Taiva, I never wore one of those things before. do me a favor, can you? I can't wear that. Can we just walk together? I'll go with you together. So you understand that the behemoth can't. That behemoth doesn't have the koyches to change much. Rav tvus b'koyach shor. But when you get one of those mishigna behemoths, the ones that like banging their heads and kicking the door down, right? Oh boy, when you tie him up good, when men nikach lav is a sham, you can make a lot of money with such a behemoth. It's worth a lot more to have a behemoth like that. Rav tvus b'koyach shor. So in the Merkava, in the chariot, in the Nevuah of Yechezkel, the shorish of the Nefesh Bahamas of a Jew is the shorish, the ox. The ox. But of course, the Yetzahara, the other side, is what takes those kirchas of the shor, of the ox. Which the Reb Tzadok talks about that. The others were called Esanei Olam, the powerful ones of the world. And in Tzikas Tzadok, he explains, Kol Cheshek Shloimeh. You think that David HaMelech wasn't such a person with such kirchas? Well, the Tzadik and the others, he says, they were cooking with big kirchas. They were mamash on fire. They were like the wild animals that were stomping in the cage. They were like lions. The others, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, they were like lions pacing back and forth. That's the kind of people that they were. We don't even know. It could be that nowadays, if you had some therapist, the therapist would say that this one had ADD and this one had other recitators. What was the others and the David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech? They were bali kaiches. Unbelievable bali koyches, David HaMelech especially, with the koyches of David HaMelech, and the cheshek and the yetzer and the taivus, but all of that is in menanikach lavad es Hashem. But the yetzer takes those koyches and it directs them to things that are bad. And our job is to bring these kaiches back. They come from a world that's originally holy, and they can be used, and they must be used for kedusha. I see you want
to see. The second idea almost sounds like a contradiction to the first, in the sense of you're always told that you're like an animal. You have a lot of energy. And the first idea, you're going to lose. You are that kind of person. And the first idea was, you're not that kind of person. You could control yourself.
Controlling yourself means to that's exactly what the Rebbe is saying at the bottom of the page.
Reroute it.
That's what it means to control yourself. It doesn't mean... What the Rebbe is saying is that because our Kedusha, because the Neshama is not fully revealed,
yeah.
As a result of that, we can't make believe that we're not going to have these rumblings of the other side. So it's going to happen. So are you a weakling or are you strong? If you're a weakling, you'll just give in to the tumah of it. If you're strong,
but in a way, isn't that giving in? You're ultimately you're not going to win.
It's a strategy along the way. That's what the Rebbe was saying. By that point, you already just wanted to ask the question. You weren't looking inside anymore. That's what the Rebbe wanted. That's what the Rebbe was saying the whole time. That if a person looks and realizes that at this point in my life, at this stage in my life, unless I use strategy and seichel and chachma, since the kedusha of who I am has not been fully revealed, so I find myself, I'll stomp on the floor and say, oh, I'm not interested. I'm not giving in to you. So. I found 100% into the negative, destructive, disgusting use of that kayach. But if we're just going to make believe at this point that we don't have these tithes, we don't have these desires, and that I'm just an angel and everything is fine, then we're going to get destroyed. So we have to admit that we have these things going on, and we have to use seichel and strategy in order to be able to what? To serve Hashem is brought, not to give into the, what he's talking about giving in, and what we're talking about being a wimp, that means to give in to doing a bad thing. He says, no, I'm not going to use this in a bad way, like this friend of mine. I'm going to use this, I have kaiches, and I'm going to serve Hashem with my kaiches. But if a person says, I'm not going to move around anymore at all. I'm just going to sit in my chair for the next 5 years. So he doesn't have the courage to do that. He'll lose.
From those concepts we've heard a million times. It's the first concept. The idea of using the Yetzirah for the right thing, we've all heard a million times. But the idea of that your holiness is going to beat out the Yetzirah, like was the first concept,
right,
that
but
we
it,
don't emphasize.
But it's not... Right,
we say we're not really that holy, we got to give up.
No, so you're saying we have that holiness and we are strong and we have the kaichus not to do the wrong thing. Not to do the wrong thing. Now, what do you do with the excess energy? So he says, don't be upset, because don't be worried. You could use that. You could use that itself to stomp on the floor and to be victorious with that excess energy. That's the seichel. We have to go down. It's quite a shame.